Lost episode.
Hey there, everyone. Man behind the red light here. I hope we're all having a great day today. Hey, so I want to tell all of y'all a story. A story that took place last Friday. But before I actually get into the story, I kind of want to touch base on the robes, the pastel robes, real fast. It's really nice. Honestly, really great material. I don't know where it came from, but it's really great material. It's just like this really nice hoodie that I could wear. It zips up. And, yeah, it's really nice. I love it. The color keeps changing from pastel palettes to pastel palettes. But it goes from, like, brown to blue, green, pink, purple, orange, kind of things like that. Just kind of shifting from different variations of pastel. It's really nice, and the changes happen, I don't really know the time span on it, at least within like 2 hours, it'll be a different pastel palette, which is pretty cool. It's really comfy, it doesn't really weigh anything, plus I've noticed on warm days I can wear it, and it feels like I'm not even really wearing it, but on cold days, and I do want to be cuddled up, and I do want to be kind of warm. It is actually very warm, and I really love it, honestly. I keep getting compliments on it. It's great. Also, I found out that it's dirt-proof, and that it cleans itself, which is really awesome. I just want to touch base on that, just because we will be talking about the pastel robes, but let's get to the actual story. This story comes to us from my old high school. It's been some time since I graduated from my old high school. I'm not at liberty to say how much time, but it's definitely been some time since I've graduated from my old high school. But my little cousin now attends my old high school. My little cousin is a freshman. She's into theater. She's into, theater arts. She's into, art. She's into just kind of all that stuff. Which I love. I love creative expression, and I try to support her across the board, just whenever. And so one day she invited me, not too long ago, I think about a month ago, she invited me to her Halloween play. I'm down to support family. Plus it was Frankenstein, a rendition of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein to be more specific. So I'm down to go. I get my ticket, and last Friday is when the play was, so I pulled up and got out the car, and I was walking on over to the theater of my old high school, which is at the end of the school map, I guess you could say. It's close to the streets, not really used too much, but from occasion, I remember that the high school had plays a lot, so it was used for that primarily. But yeah, so it's at the very end corner of my old high school. So I'm walking on over there, and I'm seeing a bunch of people come up, kids and adults and stuff like that, and they're just kind of in line. I saw teachers that have been there since I was a student there. I saw people who I went to high school with come back as teachers, and just a bunch of other new faces. I also saw that the ticket takers were there, and there were just student and faculty, and then they had a bunch of kind of student and faculty inside of this little kind of room where they handed out pamphlets, they handed out just like general information about the play and stuff like that, as well as there were people selling candy, soda, and snacks and stuff like that. So I just grabbed myself a Kit Kat and I grabbed myself a Coke and just went to the actual auditorium, which is behind these four kind of push doors. So I got into the actual auditorium, and it's this huge kind of theater with this big stage in front of it. And what you don't see is actually below the stage, right directly in front of the stage, is where the orchestra and the band is there to help with sound effects and things like that as well. So that was really cool. The lights were still pretty on, a little dimmed, but still on. So I just kind of walked on over there. I just kind of went by myself. Myself, but my aunt and uncle and other family members were going to meet up. But so I got there, and so the way it is there are three horizontal rows, and each row consists of, honestly, I forgot how many seats it was. If I were to guess, just based off of memory, I want to say about 200 seats each row. So it was a pretty good seating. So I walked in, walked straight to the left-hand sided row, got to the middle row just because I like being in the middle. But so I got there, lights were flickering, yada yada, and the play is starting. It was an interesting play, very interesting. What I was not told is that this rendition of Frankenstein consisted of a bullet point format. So pretty much just they hit all the marks of Frankenstein and just kind of did an accelerated Spark Notes version of Frankenstein, where every scene was followed by a song and dance, all sung by the students and some faculty. They played all the most classic Halloween songs, Thriller, Monster Mash, things like that. It was really interesting and definitely very creative. I was very proud of my nephew while she was doing the floss to Monster Mash. Yeah. But I looked around and I saw that there were a number of people in the audience who were kind of looking like they shared the same opinion of mine. But it was in that moment I realized that I had to use the restroom. So I got up and I was just kind of making my way through the rows, giving the occasional excuse me's and I'm sorry's and things like that. And when I was walking to the back door, I made sure my cousin wasn't looking. But when I walked to the back door, I made sure to kind of slide my way out so that the light from outside wouldn't illuminate the entire theater or make a spectacle of it. So I just tried kind of slithering out. And I saw a bunch of just teens and faculty on their phone. The faculty kind of restocking everything and making sure everything's good to go while the teens are mostly on their phones or doing TikToks and stuff like that. So I walked out the front doors and I was facing the street outside of the campus of my old high school. And I knew that there was a restroom nearby, but I also knew that there was a restroom on the other side of campus as well. And I'm thinking, you know what, it's my old high school. I'm down for those nostalgic feelings. I'm down for those nostalgic memories. I'm down for, you know, just full-on nostalgia. I remember that, you know, my high school time was, you know, pretty fun. So I was just kind of walking through the long way. Diagonal shot through my high school campus, and my high school campus consists of a lot of different buildings. There's this really large bell tower, actually, that takes up a majority of the library, which is really interesting. It's really nice. It's kind of one of the more focal pieces of the high school. But there are all these kind of buildings around, but majority of the high school does have like an outside area. Most like other high schools, but I'm just trying to paint a picture. But the cool thing is that the old high school did incorporate a lot of really nice plants and trees, just for kind of like appeal factor and make it look really nice and things of that matter too. It was pretty nice. So I was just kind of walking through and just kind of taking in the sight. Just kind of looking around, you know, what stayed the same, what's different, what got renovated, and things like that, essentially. As I was walking through, I was just kind of enjoying the sights. There's a lot of nature at my old high school. A lot of it is outside, just kind of surrounded by these really magnificent pearl white buildings, which is just really cool. The school colors are pearl white and navy blue, which I thought was actually really cool. But as I'm walking, I realize that I have the pastel robes on. And if you don't remember the pastel robes, they were given to me in the last episode. They were given to me by essentially a wish-granting grimoire from a different dimension. I'm not going to get into that too much. You could check out that episode. I'd really appreciate it, and it would clear a lot of things up as well. But I just kind of flipped the hood up of the pastel robes, and it changed my perception completely. Just a little bit, though, but I'll get into that in one moment. For those of you who don't remember, when I flip the hood up on the pastel robes, they make it so I'm able to perceive the unperceivable. Now, what that entails, I'm not exactly sure. I know it's an umbrella term, but I don't know what exactly that means. Like, what am I actually looking at, you know? So I'm still learning, but so I was just walking by and I was kind of seeing things through a different scope. So to kind of give an example, while I was walking through my old campus, I saw a staircase. The staircase was a very short staircase. It was very bland, made out of gray cement, and it was about a three-step staircase. And I saw that it had a black railing going down. But I saw that to be, okay, that is there. That is physically there. Everybody can interact with that and everybody else can see that. Although, overlapping that staircase in this glowing, faint, bluish hue, I saw another staircase. This staircase was made out of sandpaper, wood, nails, plastic, and a little bit of metal. It was this bigger staircase that was about five steps that overlapped the three-step staircase, and this other staircase also had on both sides on it, it had a metal railing, but on top of the metal railing was this half-oval shape, glossed, finished wood handle going down. So it was kind of like that, where I would see them overlapping each other. And it wasn't like there was an ocean of just this stuff around. These were memories. These were events that happened that, for one reason or another, were permanently solidified in this area. I don't know what the relationship is. I don't know the importance. I don't know anything like that just yet. These are still relatively new to me. But all I know is that these are memories. These are events that have happened that are just kind of stuck, repeating themselves, or just stuck in this location for one reason or another. So, as I'm walking, I'm seeing things from the 1980s, 1970s, 1960s, 1990s, early 2000s, you know, kind of stuff like that. Like, I walk past this staircase, or more kind of like this bridge from one building to another building. And there were a bunch of kind of signs that the school made on the bridge, just kind of hanging off of them. But I did see some stuff, again, in that bluish hue glow, kind of hanging down, and they read from different time periods. There was one from the 1940s, I think 1948. There was another one, 1976, and other kind of flyers up there as well. I also saw people, just kind of students, kind of getting their stuff together. Don't know what time period they were from, but it looked like they were covered in a bluish hue and just kind of getting up from off the floor, like sitting off the floor, you know, wiping his pants off and grabbing his book bag, putting it over his shoulder, and just kind of running until he fades out. Just kind of stuff like that. So I didn't really need to use the restroom. I was just finding an excuse to get out, and if somebody was asking where I would go, instead of panicking, I'd just tell them restroom. So I was just kind of taking it a little leisurely. It's not like I was really missing too much of the play. Not a bad play. But yeah, so I was just kind of walking around, and I saw a lot of things that were different. And it was all very interesting. I was taking in a different perception, you know? I was seeing the school in its early days and current days, and it was very interesting just kind of seeing all these things unfold in front of you and being kind of like a fly on the wall in the situation. But the craziest thing that happened that night is when I went to what is now the parking lot. So the school has two parking lots. There's one in the front, which has been there for the longest time. And then there's one in the back, which has also been there for the longest time. But that one that's been in the back is actually the, and I do this in air quotations, the newest one. When that was implemented, I'm not sure. But when I walked over to it, I saw that there was almost like this field of that kind of short but thick grass. You know which one I'm talking about? Like, I feel like you know which one I'm talking about. The one that's short, it's thick, and it's kind of like hard to bend, you know, kind of like hard grass, I guess you could say. But it was like that kind of field, and there was a lot of dirt on there as well. And I was looking around, and it looked like that there were these kind of wooden metal stadiums up there. They were like metal, but then for the actual seats, they were wooden. And there were all these kind of around the area, and it looked like a baseball field. I walked more around the area, just kind of see what was around. I saw these cars around, but then in that bluish hue glow, I saw the actual patch of grasses, the dirt, the baseball field, and things like that. And I kept hearing something, like somebody talking and like a ball or something. So I looked on over, and I saw this dude just kind of standing there. Not really standing there, he was doing a motion, but I couldn't really see, so I walked up a little bit closer to him. And I was probably about 15 feet away from him. And I kept hearing a ball get knocked over. And the way I saw it is this guy was standing in front of me. And he had this old high school baseball uniform on. And he had this baseball bat in his hand. And every time this ball, this unseen ball was hit, you'd see it just fly from the air out of nothing, out of nowhere. It would just fly from the air. And then sure enough, every time the kid would hit it and it'd fly off into the distance. But you kept hearing the same thing over and over again. So I was just staring at him for a little bit. Just, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Are you staring at me?
Huh? I looked around in confusion and looked back at him, and this time he actually stopped to look at me for a second before going back to swinging at the ball that would come out of nowhere. Yeah, sorry, I didn't think you could see me here. Yeah, sorry about that.
What? I didn't think you'd be able to see me.
He said in confusion as he put the baseball bat down and walked away so that every time the ball was hit, it would just miss him. He was walking closer to me and he looked just as confused as I was, but I saw that as he got up close, there was blood on the side of his face. It didn't look like a lot of blood, it just looked like there was just blood. coming from the side of his face from his temple. And he was walking over to me, but he looked really cool. I didn't get any bad vibes from him nor anything like that.
Are you really able to see me?
He asked in confusion. Yeah, that was my bad. I'm sorry. I'm so new to this, so I was just, I didn't mean to stare. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's not bad at all. I was just, it's surprising. This is the first time I've actually had an encounter with somebody and actually talked with them. So that's actually pretty interesting. Usually whenever people walk through me, they get chills or they could smell me or sometimes gauge my emotions, or other times people can sense my aura, sense my presence. Sometimes people can hear me. Sometimes people can see a flash of me, but never has somebody been able to actually stare at me and hear me at the same time and perceive me as well as it looks you can.
The entire time he was telling me that, he kept waving his hands in front of me and shifting his body from side to side as if he's for real testing to see if I could see him or not. Yeah, I could see that too, I told him. Yeah, no, it's this really cool hoodie I'm wearing. It's like a magic hoodie, so if I have the hood up, I can perceive you and I could perceive other things around you, but I didn't know I can interact with you. Wait a minute. Can I ask you somewhat of a personal question?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Are you a ghost?
Oh. yeah, I guess I am. That's pretty interesting. I mean, I've never heard of anything like that. But given the fact that you can perceive me, I guess I'm at liberty to believe you.
Yeah, they're really cool. They were given to me by a grimoire from a different dimension. I'm not too sure really what happened. But I'll spare you the story. But yeah, it was really cool. I'm able to perceive things that are unperceivable. And if I zip my hoodie up, I'm able to become invisible and stuff like that as well. And yeah, it's just pretty cool, but I'm still learning it. I'm still learning about the pastel robes, that's what they're called, and I mean, I'm having fun though.
You could turn invisible. That's pretty cool. Can I see?
Yeah, for sure. Give me one moment. Here, check this out.
Hey, that's pretty cool, but you're only partial invisible. I could still see you a little bit.
Oh, can you really?
Oh, wow. Hey, look at that. You are invisible now. Wait, now I can start to see you again. Wait. May I ask what you're doing?
Oh, that's so cool. You know what? I think this confirms something I was thinking about the other day. When the pastel robes are zipped up all the way, I become invisible to people, probably, but to other things, I'm still visible unless I want to become invisible. Wow, that's pretty cool.
You know, you're a little strange, but I really appreciate that. Hey, so listen, I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but it's been some time since I've been able to actually have a conversation and hang out with somebody. Would you be down to just kind of like hang out for a little bit and just talk about like just stuff?
Honestly, I'd be down. I'm not really doing too much at the time. But I do have to be back within about an hour, if that's cool. My name is Garfield.
Rudy, how you doing?
We shook hands and Rudy took me around the spots that he usually goes to. It was pretty cool. I was seeing the school through a different perception, and also it was pretty cool because I was able to phase right through walls and buildings and stuff like that, and I was able to follow Rudy pretty much wherever he was leading me to. But what he was telling me is that usually he likes to just haunt people and scare people, not to be mean, menacing, or in bad taste or anything like that. He just gets really bored, and you can't really blame the guy. So whatever, we were doing that. We saw some kids and staff kind of sneaking away from the play, and we took that opportunity to just kind of mess with them a little bit. We saw some teens kind of sitting on some tables that were outside near where I used to sit in my old lunch area. And they were just kind of drinking some Cokes, and Rudy and I decided to just kind of mess with them. So we got next to them, and we got next to sodas, and we both kind of looked at each other while holding our arms out as if we were about to knock the sodas, like, away from them. To put it in perspective, the two kids were sitting on the table, like, actually on the table itself, not on the seats, and they were next to each other, and their sodas were right next to them on their opposing sides. So Rudy and I got next to them, and we were looking at each other, just kind of nodding. We kind of did like a little hand gesture of 3, 2, 1, and then on one we both smacked the drinks out, and it freaked out the kids, and like the drinks just went flying. It was great. It freaked them out, and then afterwards we were just kind of moaning some things at them, and it was freaking them out, and it was scaring them. They ran. It was actually pretty funny. Rudy and I were laughing, and we did the same thing with some teachers who I guess nobody knew they were dating, but they were totally dating. And they were being all flirtatious. It was actually pretty adorable. Rudy and I both agreed on it. But we still wanted to have a little bit of fun. So they were just kind of walking through this passageway where on both sides are just grass. And it's usually where kids come on over, sit down and have like a little picnic type of lunch, I guess, if they want to have. But it was just like this kind of road that went down. And between the two were just these grassy areas. And above them were lamps. So they're walking through, and Rudy just kind of nudges me, and he's like, hey, watch this, watch this. And as he does that, he sticks his hand out, and the lights just start kind of dimming, and they just start kind of like, he's playing with the lights at this point, and they're dimming, and they're kind of like flashing, and they go back to dimming, and they're doing all this weird stuff, and it's kind of freaking a little bit of them out. So what I did is I kind of ran up next to them, and I decided to just kind of jump behind them and just freak them out. Usually, I wouldn't do this, but when it's near Halloween, or I'm sorry, when it's Halloween month and about a week away from Halloween, and you're having fun with a ghost, you know, when in Rome, I guess I'm saying. But we just kind of did this. We were just kind of walking up to unsuspecting people and just haunting them. It was actually really funny and really cool. And again, normally stuff that I would never do. But again, when in Rome and you're having fun with a ghost, I guess the rule book is just thrown out the window at that point. But after our fun, we were just kind of walking around and we were just talking. And that's when Rudy told me his story.
You know,
story.
This has been really fun. Sincerely, thank you so much. It's been around 80 years since I've actually spoken to anybody and actually interacted with anybody. So this has really been refreshing. Seriously, thank you very much. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just kind of vent to you about what happened and just kind of get it off my back and finally be able to rest with it, knowing that somebody else knows my story and kind of knows it to its fullest. So I attended this school back in 1942. The day I died, I remember it exactly. 4:05 p.m. January 3rd, 1942, 80 years ago, is when my story took place. I remember I was in varsity baseball, back when they had the baseball field over where now the parking lot is. I remember I was trying out with it, and I mean, obviously I was going to make the team. I was just trying out to see my position and everything like that, you know, standard stuff, but I remember I was off to the side and I was talking to one of the cheerleaders, not for baseball, but for, you know, they just so happened to be there. So I was talking to them. I was talking to one of them and just kind of leaning against one of the bleachers, and I was just talking, having a good time. And then that's when foul ball came flying out of nowhere and hit me right in the temple, going about around 80 miles an hour. At first, I thought I just hit the ground and got back up, thinking that it's just a little sore, but I feel fine. But then I saw people rushing around me, and I saw my body convulsing on the floor in the dirt. I saw people rushing around me, and I could feel them trying to resuscitate me, and I could feel my body trying to be resuscitated. I just stood there and stared at them. At some point, they called it quits, and they moved my body. I remember after they moved my body, I still tried to go home. I usually walked home, and it was about a 3-mile walk. So I would usually just walk it or take my bike. But I remember that day in specific, I didn't take my bike, so I tried walking. But as soon as I got out of the campus and I was walking, I felt myself walk back into the campus. And no matter how many times I would try to exit the campus in any way possible, it just wouldn't work. I remember at some point there was even a time, years down the line, where I tried to possess people and tried to exit that way, and still didn't really work too well. I tried latching on to people, and that didn't work either. I was kind of bound to this baseball field and this school. They've done renovations, and they've moved a lot of the stadiums and the bleachers and everything into storage or a junk area or stuff like that. And I follow that thing. I follow those things around. That's why I'm able to get into certain places of the school and just kind of travel around the school. There's little bits of the stadiums kind of around the area. So I just haunt them. There are technically a few different places I could haunt. I could haunt the baseball field primarily, where people see me. I could haunt the school itself. And because some of the bleacher wood is used in a theme park, I can actually kind of go to the theme park, but just kind of like a certain area of the theme park. But that's my story. I remember when it first happened, I just wanted to leave. I wanted to leave, and I wanted to see my family for the last time. I saw them when they came to my memorial on campus, but I only saw them for about 5-10 minutes until they got out, and the entire time I was trying to get their attention, but they just couldn't see me. They couldn't notice me. I remember at some point I did try to see the positives. I would sit in classes as if I was actually in those classes, and I would raise my hand as if I was trying to ask questions, or sometimes I would even act like I'm disrupting class, and again, just trying to make the best out of my situation. But nothing really lasted. And it just kind of all got mundane at about the same time. So ever since then, I've just been here the past 80 years.
I'm going to spare the detail because we actually talked about his death and everything that came afterwards. We kind of talked about it, dissected it, debated it, and just kind of went through everything and just kind of tried to help him feel peace. One thing he told me is that he just wanted to be buried with his family. Instead, his family was actually buried at a different cemetery plot across town. But he said that he just wanted to be buried with them. So I made him an offer. I told him to take me to the bleachers and that I would get a piece of it, and that I would try to get that piece of wood from the bleachers. Not a big piece, just like a small piece. Since it's all old, it's got water damage, it's chipping off, there's like termites and everything like that. So it'd be easy to just kind of take off a piece, like a chip of the wood, and just kind of put it near his parents' gravestones. He got really excited and ecstatic and took me immediately to the area, in which I just kind of unzipped the robe a little bit so I could be physical again. I took a piece off and just kind of chipped it off. I actually took two small pieces and put them in my pocket, zipped up the robes again, and kept that promise. I returned to the play just in time for the ending scene. So I got back in and I took my original seat, and completely physical now. The hood is off, the zip is down, so I'm not invisible anymore, and I'm just there physically. The play ended. I told my cousin she was amazing, and all that stuff. Drove her home. All that good jazz. The next day, last Saturday, I took a trip out to the cemetery that Rudy's parents were buried at. And I, with the pieces of wood in my pocket and my hood up, I was able to perceive Rudy. Although at a cemetery, I was able to perceive much more than Rudy. So he understood when I took my hood off and put it back on, just to get a general sense of direction, and then I would take it off again so I wouldn't be overwhelmed, and I'd walk in that area and then put my hood on again to get Rudy's assurance that we were still going the correct way. I got to where his family were. Bethany and Bernard were their names. Loving husband and wife, loving father. From the looks of it, they're relatively old, and Rudy was just standing there looking at their headstones since this was the first time he's ever actually looked at it. I let him kind of have his moment there, and just told him to make me feel a cold spot if he's ready. And so I was just letting him have his moment while I was just standing there. Not many people were around. And even if they were obviously private and to themselves. But I was just standing there taking in the scenery. And then I felt the cold spot. So I put the hood back on, and Rudy told me he was ready. With the hood on, I took one piece of the chipped wood out of my pocket and just kind of dug it into the soil, into his mom's plot of grave. And then did the same with the other piece of wood and just kind of dug it into the soil from his dad's grave. And I couldn't see what happened next, but Rudy was saying he could see a light. And he could see his parents. He thanked me one last time and walked off, and he vanished in front of me, even with my hood on. I couldn't see too much of the light, but I'm guessing that it just wasn't my time, and that's legit the only reason why I couldn't see it. But it was still an amazing feeling. I took my hood off and I just went off with the rest of my Saturday, and that's what I did this Halloween. Technically, it's not Halloween yet. We still have a week left. But so far, this year's Halloween, pretty unbeatable. But I hope all of you have a safe Halloween, and I hope all of you have a fun Halloween. And until next time, folks, I'll see you. Until then, have a beautiful day, have a great day, and I just hope nothing but the best for all of you. Peace.